Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate it. As always, hopefully everybody's day is off to a great start. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, dog. It is a beautiful day after torrential downpour.
It was
yesterday. It was going crazy.
It was yesterday.
And it's crazy because you know, right here when you're going, going to get on 85, right where the connector is. Mm-hmm. It was traffic. I was wondering why I was traffic and everything. Man, these two damn cars just was coming around that curve too fast.
And
clipped them.
Yeah. That is a pretty pretty sharp curve.
Yeah, dog.
You'd
be getting after it. That's why they clipped them. I was like, oh hell. Well, it's gonna be a long ride home. And then as soon as you get past it on 85, there's no traffic.
Yeah.
And then it stopped raining.
It was nice to walk into work today and not come upon a random hit and run almost that I walked on yesterday.
That's great.
Well, it was shocking.
Yeah.
And I don't know what ended up really going on. I park over there in the neighborhood by where we work. I come around the corner. There's just a car in the middle of the road. Half of it, the side of it is just clearly they've sideswiped a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
There's no hood on the car. The windshield's cracked. It's just sitting there in the middle of the road. I was like, what's going on? So I walked up on it. There was a lady in the front seat. She maybe had a few too many.
Dude, it was 10:30.
Yeah, I think a few too many decades of drugs. I think it had been a long run for this lady. She wasn't really sure what was going on. But anyway, I left a note on the guy's car that clearly she had hit, this really nice Porsche Cayenne. And just in case the police didn't come or whatever. So, and I took a picture of her license. He called me last night because I left him a note. He was hey, I just got to my car. It was 4:30. I was like, oh my God, this happened hours ago, man.
Right.
No one has called you yet? No one got in touch with you? And he was like, no, I just got to my car. What happened? So I ran him through the whole thing and sent him the picture that I took and all that. He was like, oh, thanks. I think she left. And then a neighbor came out while I was talking to him, and she was like, yeah, the lady just drove off.
Really?
How? How did she do that?
With no hood? And
the car couldn't even go. And obviously I don't know. So,
wow.
Crazy. Anyway, nice that didn't start my day.
That's a pretty solid thing.
Don't do a whole bunch of meth and then drive.
Yeah, that's basically what it is, man. But yes, it's a nice week. We were just talking before we came on, ACC Media Days up there in Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Heard some interesting clips. Maybe we'll probably get to it later on about a school that can probably save the ACC.
Which one?
SMU.
Yeah.
I was like, really?
In this day and age.
And that's how he I know it was Roddy who we used to have on.
Roddy Jones, right?
Yeah, but I don't know who the guy was with him. But, it's a different day because of the day and age it is now.
Yeah.
SMU in Texas with all that bread.
One of the biggest flexes of modern college football is SMU saying to the ACC, just let us in. We don't need any of the revenue sharing.
Yeah.
You don't, for however many years, don't even worry about it.
Yes.
They're like, well, a lot of times people come in with a staggered, no, we don't care.
Mm-mm.
Don't give us any. We just need the access to the auto bid if we win the conference or the prestige of the strength of schedule from playing the conference schedule, whatever, from where we're coming from. We don't need any of that money. We got our own.
Yep.
We're good. What a flex.
Well,
yeah. And then what do you know? First year in the conference, they make the college football playoff.
Yes. How
about
that?
Pretty good.
Pretty damn good.
Pretty good.
Man. Pretty damn good. So, yeah, that'd be an interesting thing you were talking about. I guess Carson Beck is up there. Are they going to ask him anything about his time at Georgia?
They will ask him a lot of stuff about his time at Georgia.
Yeah, it seems like it's
will
been
he answer
so,
it is the question.
It's been so long ago, but it hasn't been long ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's been – obviously he's been on the radar with all the other stuff that didn't have anything to do with football. But now, I don't – is he throwing yet?
Great question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I imagine somebody will ask him that today, too.
Yeah, is he throwing everything yet? Yeah, but yeah, it's an interesting division that, I think
how do you view that? Just from – and I think I know how you view it, but because it's not the first time it's happened with Georgia. It's different, I think, this time with Carson Beck than it has been with other transfer quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
But how are you – going to, do you keep an eye on him at Miami? Do you kind of watch – yeah, I don't think so.
I don't give a damn about Carson Beck or Miami.
I think there'll be a lot of Georgia fans that – sort of an ex-girlfriend. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You don't unfollow them on Instagram just so you could see if they're doing okay.
Right, right, right.
And if they are, it kind of makes you mad.
Oh, no, I don't.
But if they're posting cry selfies, you love it.
But you know me, Doug.
From a petty standpoint.
You know me. I want to see everybody win. You know that.
You're an outlier.
Yeah, I was here.
You only want Georgia to do well, and if they leave you.
Because
although
I have no hard feelings about from Carson.
It was not – obviously, you wanted to see him do well, but it probably wasn't, like, your favorite thing to watch Justin Fields at Ohio State.
Hell no, because I wanted Justin Fields to stat. No, we got right. two natties, all right? I understand that.
Right.
I got it.
Right.
I damn sure wanted to see him play at Georgia. But, yeah, but no, I'm just, you know, it's fun because college football is up here. You got the choke artist that's on the stage right now, Miami head coach Mario Cristobal. I say he loses two games for him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he loses two games.
Yeah.
He loses two games.
He's a good enough recruiter to where the talent will win them a lot of games.
Yes.
And their schedule is pretty favorable.
Yes.
I think they open against Notre Dame.
Is that it?
I believe they do.
Okay.
Which is, you know, good luck.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean they'll probably run a pretty good record through that conference, and then late in the year they'll be in a field goal game against somebody, and they'll just need to take a knee or
yep.
run the clock out or do something.
Yes.
And he'll make a bad choice and they'll lose.
Yeah, yeah. This is Mario Cristobal.
Yeah, classic Cristobal.
That's what he does, man. But I mean, and I know we got a lot of time to talk about college, but I mean, this you know when cause I think Big 12 is the same. No, I'm sorry, the Big 10 is this week too, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
And so you got, you know, just wrapping these things up. And like Kirby said, hell, they're back in office right now, as he told us last week. You know, I'm back to work on Monday. And so, yeah, it's drawing near. But I think it's going to be a fun college football season once we get to the actual games themselves and all that other crap, adding playoffs and all this other crap, when that goes away, when the first ball is kicked off. Now, you'll still talk about it and things, but it won't be just – overbearing because you're worried about the games.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that they come to some sort of solution. You know what I mean?
They
so we don't
will.
Have to go into the year still wondering what they're going to do. I agree with you. It is annoying that we're sitting here at Media Days wondering what the playoff format is going to look like. Figure it out, you know? How hard is it? Have 12 or 16? I understand that it's more complicated than that.
Yes.
One conference wants this. One conference wants that. Tony Petitti did have his opening press conference from Big Ten Media Days, and he was like, we're good with 5'9 or 5'11.
Yeah, but you
– which is what every guy my height wants to hear from a girl.
I know, that's right. Yeah. and who's the brother that was there at Ohio State? Because he was on yesterday, and he was talking about basically – he's basically calling the SEC a bunch of chumps because they won't go to 9.
Okay.
You should have heard him, and he was going all in. And he only – he's not a commissioner anymore.
Right.
But, yeah, you should have heard him yesterday just going all in. Like, oh, they people want to see an extra conference game, which is true.
Yeah, but I agree with that part.
Yeah, yeah, that's basically what he was saying. That's what's holding this thing up.
And again, that might be too. Yeah. Like, if the SEC just was like, yeah, we'll go to 9, then the Big Ten probably would be like, all right, we'll go 5-11, and that'll be that.
Right.
Although they want 4 auto bids. Like,
yes.
The Big Ten wants 4 auto bids, especially if the SEC is going to stay at 8.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to go to 16 if the SEC stays at 8. But I also don't think the SEC commissioner wants to stay at 8.
No,
he wants to go to 9,
yeah.
too. He wants it to go to 16 and go to 9.
He don't want to make it – Sank don't want it to make it seem like y'all made him do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He wants to make it seem like he's doing them a favor
yes.
by getting what he wants and what he
yes.
wants. He wants his cake and eat it too and make it seem like it was his idea.
Right.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a lot of you know, different media have different agendas and stuff like that. But there's definitely like a lot of carrying the water going on right now for the different conferences.
No doubt.
I mean, there's no doubt. There's like the SEC homers that work for some of the big networks for sure. But now you're seeing some of the Big Ten folks
yes.
pop up. I know Colin Cowherd had some rant yesterday about like how the SEC towns and fan bases don't have any money because
yes.
of like tech hubs. And it's like, what? Like,
yes.
Talk about a region of the country with a little bit less respect.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Texas is saving the SEC.
Right.
I was like, oh.
Okay.
Because of money or team?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
I think pretty sure all the big programs are doing fine
yes.
from a money perspective.
Yes.
I guess like some of the new teams in the Big Ten are from markets that have industry.
Yes.
I mean, I guess you've got LA and Seattle and I guess, but like, you know, how invested are the alumni in putting money into that program?
Exactly.
Like USC's been in LA forever.
Yes. And they put money into it.
Sometimes.
Yeah, they all leave.
Sometimes they do, sometimes
yeah.
they don't.
Yeah.
Like that's been the whole thing with Lincoln Riley is he had to get them aligned as far as NIL and facilities and all. It's crazy
yes.
how
USC.
That program could have ever fallen behind in that category. But it's not that they didn't have money.
Right.
It's just they weren't winning and the coach wasn't rallying support like that. And so Lincoln Riley's had to try to do it. Meanwhile, he hasn't been winning
no.
while he's doing that. So,
but they fire him.
They can't.
Yeah. Like, they fire Lincoln Riley?
Yeah. Again, it's the hub of industry, but He's got an $80 million buyout.
Ooh,
so I don't think that's going to happen.
I mean, we've seen
soon.
It.
Yeah.
I mean, if Texas, well, Texas ain't different, though.
They're different.
I mean, it's one thing if you want
to. By the way, is in the SEC
yes.
and has more money than USC does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, we ain't talking about film industry money. You know, ain't talking about film industry money. We're talking about the guys who send money to them to build the film.
My thing is, like, it's not even so much about, like, what fan base has what alumni who makes what $1 billion, whatever.
Who's willing to give?
It's about who's willing to give to football.
Mm-hmm.
And there, in my experience covering it and watching it, there is no booster groups more willing to give than the booster groups of the SEC schools.
Yes.
Now, of course, Michigan and Ohio State and Penn State and some of the schools in the Big Ten and some of the schools in the ACC we just talked about. SMU is already one and going to continue to be a big player because they got dudes that want to put money towards football.
Mm-hmm.
They always have.
Back
when they were cheating their ass off back in the 70s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they have – you mean to tell me, like, them dudes in them big-ass buildings in Dallas, Texas, that only walk in the office just to walk in the office. It's probably their damn building. And to be like, oh, I went to SMU. You don't think – I mean, that was a proud time for them. Mm-hmm. With ED and them, like, that was – please. They were talking about that. People like, well, they act like there weren't $100 handshakes back in the day. Yeah, they were. They weren't handshaking. They were giving lives to people. Here's a whole house.
Yeah, just go watch the Pony Express.
Yeah, here's a whole damn house for your mama. Yeah, she ain't got to live in Dallas. Oh, you from Pittsburgh? Yeah, we'll buy a house in Pittsburgh.
They were doing what USC was doing for Reggie Bush decades before that was happening.
Yes. Don't have a problem with.
No, I don't have,
I don't have a
problem with it at all.
Yeah.
I'm happy now you can do that stuff. Now you can do it, and, you know, if a kid's parents need a place to stay, you get a kid's parents a place to stay.
Yeah.
Or you just give him a bunch of money, and he gets his parents a place
exactly.
to stay. If the market says that's what the running back is worth, then the running back should get the money, and he can support his family that way. I mean, there's no problem with that. I just think if it does start to be an arms race like that, I agree with Roddy and the ACC Network guy who were talking about that school.
Yeah.
I think that's how that's a big part of how Oregon has become a player on the national stage. Is Phil Knight just decided in the mid-90s, I got so much money and I like football and I like this school.
Right.
Let me start pumping.
He's an alum, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm just like Oregon.
Let me start pumping my resources into this football program and obviously Nike creativity and jerseys and stuff like that, and it's worked. I mean, you know, it hasn't been a national championship, but they've been a very good program for like 30 years now.
Yeah, I mean, and he seems like that area's kids, you know, is theirs. But now they're more, and we talked, you know, it was more, the Oregon was always with the cool uniforms and all that other stuff.
Yeah, fun Chip Kelly offense, cool uniforms.
Yeah, but then they went and got a ball coach and Dan Lanning, and now you have opportunity to get these kids to come out there. But like you said, the bread is there. And Phil Knight's, what, 90?
Something old.
Yeah, and he said he wants a championship before he dies, right?
He does.
Something like that.
He said he would die unsatisfied if he doesn't win a championship.
But you're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how do you...
But you're satisfied.
Yeah, so it's like you're dead. I mean, but if I'm Phil, and you know, we have fun with it, but I'm like, I would be like some of them, if I'm him, like some of them, like most billionaires, I'd be drinking like baby whale pee and stuff, man.
Yeah, me too.
I'd be trying to live as long as possible,
sure,
man. I leave them young gals alone. go leave them young gals alone. Be over there
injecting like rhino DNA.
Yes, I'll be doing everything. But yeah, then I'll be hanging out at the senior center.
You know what else I'd be doing?
Trying to find me a gal.
You know what else I'd be doing? Trying to get my alma mater a national championship.
So that's what I'm saying.
Just throwing money at it.
I mean, he won't put a dent in his net worth.
Nah.
By giving money to that school.
Nah, he can't. He's got more money than his next five generations could spend, probably. And I hope it doesn't work. I hope he dies unsatisfied. Well,
I knew that shot was coming.
I hope he's buried unsatisfied at some point. All right.
He dead.
Yeah. Yep. And so will Oregon's football program be. What's trending is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ground ball, get through there. It will. And Baldwin drives in another run. Ronald's coming home. Safe. What base running from Acuna.
Even Drake Baldwin looks stunned out there, standing at second base. This is doing your homework and picking up on a defense being lazy. This should never happen. And Ronald doing special things with his legs. An amazing base running play from Ronald Acuna Jr.
It was some definite laziness in that outfield, dude.
That's on the center fielder lead right there. Acuna saw him just sauntering towards that ball. He's like, all right, great. I'm just turning on the Jets.
Yes. I love what Snitch said about it, because that's where I was like, oh, Ryan ran through the stop sign.
Sure did.
Snitch said, I told Freddie, let that guy go.
Yeah, there's certain guys.
But he said, I told Freddie. Basically, what he's saying is, there's certain guys, and he's one of them. Let him do his thing.
Yeah. If he decides he's going, he's going, because he has a different gear than most humans.
Yeah.
So this is like, we said this mid last week. It was like, really, now that with the post All-Star break upon us and all that, like, you're tuning in on a nightly basis because you're a Braves fan. You're going to watch the games. But the thing that's going to get you fired up is who knows what Ronald Acuna might do.
Right.
They've played how many games since the All-Star break now? This is the fourth game?
Yes.
Every game he's done something insane.
Yes.
Like the throw that he made, the home run the other night in the ninth inning, the diving catch, that yesterday scoring from first base on a dribbler up the middle.
Flying.
Like, yeah, man, I don't know. Special guy, special player.
A good game. The Drake Baldwin was outstanding yesterday. I was sitting there watching the first inning, and I was like, they got to get this kid out of here before he hurt somebody. The pitcher for the Giants.
Yeah.
I'm like, this dude finna hurt somebody. All right. I mean, it was the fun. Like when Murph went down, I was like,
oh. Uh huh.
And then you could look at the manager for the Giants, like, hey, man. Get him up, like right now. Let's stall a little bit because this might kill somebody.
Yeah,
here,
it's pretty crazy to start a game and go 0.0 innings.
Dude.
Have an infinity.
Do you have an ERA on there?
He has one for the year.
Because you got to record it out to have.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it won't be recorded technically until he records his next out,
I guess.
Yeah.
Walk, double, hit Bassman.
He was.
5 earned runs, 1 hit. Only gave up 1 hit,
yes.
5 earned runs, 1 hit, 0 innings pitched.
Yeah, man. I was like, okay, maybe he wants to get out of here.
Yeah, did he have like a tea time or something?
I'm saying, dog. I guess it's a night game. I was looking at him like, is this his first time?
No, it's a crazy thing. He's pitched a lot of games this year.
Yeah, he looked like, they did the Braves a favor because it looked like somebody was going to get clocked in the face, dude.
It was really bad.
It was bad. It was really, really bad. But hey, they end up getting the win, like you said, and we praise the good. It was good yesterday. Yeah. Scored runs yesterday.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah, scores runs.
Last couple of games is like kind of fun to see the offense go a little bit. That's the second time they've scored 9 runs in 3 games.
Did you think it was over, though?
No, of course not.
All right.
Of course not.
When that dude hit that damn double in the ninth, I was like,
they couldn't get Willie Adames out. Willie Adames, every time he came to the plate, it was just an automatic extra base hit. I don't know. When Montero comes in the game, it's like, buckle up.
Like,
buckle up. Same thing with De Los Santos.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah.
And they go back to back, Andy. they go back to back.
It's got
to
be the worst 1-2 punch in baseball.
And then I look out there, and they got daggone Iglesias warming up.
Yeah, why not?
Like, come on, man.
Get him up.
Come on, man. Please. Pop up.
On the fire.
Pop up. Thank you. Now, please catch it. Please catch the pop-up so we can get the hell out of here, man.
I know.
God, it's so frustrating with this damn bullpen.
He missed De Los Santos missed his spot on that final out by a foot. Luckily, the Giant player popped it up and the game was over.
Because if not, then
Iglesias would have come in the game and then we'd probably be having a slightly different conversation right now.
Yes, exactly.
Also, I always love watching Camilo Duvall, their closer. He looked like he had no idea what was going on yesterday. Like he had a pitch clock violation. Guys were just stealing on him and he wasn't paying attention. Like, looked like he didn't expect to be in the game or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I know it was the first time he pitched since the All-Star break. I always like watching him pitch because he throws like 105 miles an hour. But
gas.
He looked like he was drunk in the game yesterday or something like that. He looked like he was ready to go.
Hey, Buckhead used to get the NBA player.
Well, baseball players too. Football players.
They like to party. Yeah.
Buckhead Brett. Isn't that what they called Brett Favre when he played here?
Oh, yeah, man. That's the home guy. Yeah. Brett. They did call him that because he was a wild. I mean,
he was visibly fat.
Yes.
At the age of 22. Because of all of the beers that he was pounding.
Yeah, man. Hey, I'm a backup quarterback.
Yeah.
What do I need to do?
I'm not playing.
What do I need to, what do I need to stay in shape for?
Tonight's matchup, 7:15, Landon Roop versus Davis Daniel.
Who the is this guy?
Which one of those guys pitches for the Braves?
Give me the names again.
Landon Roop versus Davis Daniel.
I'm going to go Roop.
Nope, Davis Daniel.
Who the hell is that guy?
He pitched the other day. But yeah, yep, that's it.
I can't keep track of these dudes, man.
You know what?
And neither do I want.
You don't need to.
I don't want to. I'm just gonna start cussing.
They're not gonna be here.
Yeah, that's what I'm like, I don't care who he is. Just go out there and don't lose a damn game.
Yeah. Austin Riley took some grounders yesterday. He could be activated this weekend. That would be good. And I'll be honest with you. I know that Nick Allen had a nice game last night, and he's really good defensively. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing Nacho Alvarez play shortstop for the rest of the season.
I know we had that conversation via text yesterday. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we talked
about
it. Give
him a shot.
We gave him a shot. He's like, if he sucks, he can suck right along with everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, what difference does it make?
like,
at this point.
If they're playing that bad, hell, it won't matter if he stinks.
It's a low pressure. It's not even a tryout because he's obviously an important prospect in the organization, but maybe that saves you a signing in the offseason. I don't know if it does or not. Like we mentioned in the opening segment, ACC and Big Ten Media Days going on today. We were just looking at the TV, and they had Carson Beck's press conference on there. Still a fan of the mock turtleneck chain.
Yes, look. That's his look.
Still going with that one.
I think it
chain looked pretty nice.
It shows his face. All right,
it
takes away from.
Oh, it distracts from the face.
Yeah, distracts from the face. Yeah, that's all that is, man. But they have high hopes up down there in Miami, and I understand it. You know, they have talent. Let's not get twisted. They are one of the more talented teams in the conference and things like that. We just understand what happens when their coach is in a pressure situation.
Uh huh.
It just goes bad. It really, really does. And you're right. They do start with Notre Dame. They got Notre Dame and Florida the first four games. So then a bye week, Florida State. Oh, so that damn Notre Dame, Florida, and Florida State. Nice.
All before the middle of October.
Yeah.
At SMU.
Got Syracuse.
At Virginia Tech. At Pitt. I don't know. If they make the playoff, that's impressive.
Yeah, it is. It is. But they're gonna figure out. Chris DeWall will figure out a way, though.
Oh, yeah. And they'll probably lose one of those games they should win, too. But there's some games they should lose on that schedule as well, just in terms of who they're playing. All right. Let's hear Kirk Herbstreit telling a story about Nico Iamaleava's dad and what he was asking before they left Tennessee.
I don't know the true story. I've heard different stories.
Great.
I've heard from close sources it was the first pick in the draft.
Yeah. I believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of overstepping, wouldn't you say?
I bet it happens more than we think.
I'm sure it does.
I bet it happens more than we
think. I don't think it should.
I don't think it should at all. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure. I mean, it's
got a lot of nerve.
You got a lot of damn nerve. That's awesome.
You got a lot of nerve.
You got a lot of damn nerve to do that.
And then people will say, "Well, he's just looking out for the best interest of his kid." I guess.
Whatever.
I don't know.
I mean, sometimes you got to let your child, be a man about.
He's on a football team.
He's a football team.
You know.
Yeah. So, but I mean, he got his wish. He's gone. He's out there back in California though, with probably a worse team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, with probably
definitely
worse team.
A worse team.
And so, yeah, hopefully, you know, you'll see what a lot of us see. He's all right.
Yeah.
He's all right.
Yeah, he's all right.
It's a great system that he plays in for a quarterback, and he was just all right in it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Hendon Hooker, and Hendon Hooker ain't got no kind of talent that this boy got. And so he did.
It's going to be interesting if that was the problem at Tennessee. You go to UCLA, where the roster is, you know.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of guys that are going to play in the NFL roster.
No, there's not.
It's probably not going to be protected very well.
Hard head making soft behind.
Yeah.
You know that.
He's going to have one of those.
Yep.
Probably his dad does or whatever.
We'll have a mush butt.
That's crazy. Get a life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, let your kid be he's one of the best quarterbacks in the country. Like, get out of the way.
Yep. Let him be a man.
I don't know, man.
Let him be a man.
I think that's one of the biggest problems we have in sports right now. Like, everyone wants to blame the kids, but I think the parents are the real problem.
I agree with you 100%.
God, just stay in your lane. All right. That's what's trending. Anything else going on?
No.
We'll let you know if anything else pops off.
Nah.
Mike Conte is going to join us next. We'll talk to him about Falcons training camp. Gets underway later this week. Get his thoughts on what went on with the Hawks at Summer League as well. And, you know, Atlanta United.
Are they getting rid of folks?
They're getting rid of a lot of people. Getting rid of a lot of people. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here Tuesday, late morning, 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. 255 of the 257 draft picks from this year's NFL draft have signed their contracts. Two guys haven't. We'll talk about who they are in about 20 minutes from right now.
Oh, my.
The two teams that you would be least surprised to hear would have situations like this. This hour brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Mike Conti joins us at this time on Tuesdays to talk all things Atlanta sports. We'll get to some Hawks summer league in just a little bit, but training camp starts on Thursday. Mike, how are you?
I'm excited. Yeah, I'm good. How are you guys?
Very well.
Outstanding.
It's going to be hot.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of fun, though. It's my understanding that the first 3 days of camp, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, they've sold out their ticket allotment. So I think that shows the fans are anxious.
We had a caller yesterday who's going, I think Thursday or maybe Sunday. I don't remember what day it was. But he called, and he had never been.
Uh-huh.
And he wanted to know if we had any advice for folks that – hadn't been before as far as like when to show up, what to bring, all that kind of stuff. And I don't know, I think we did a pretty good job giving him advice.
Yeah,
but
I heard that. Hydrate is my advice.
Tap into your expertise as well.
I mean, I feel like this is probably, this goes back to when I worked at the old place. I think 2009 was my first training camp. So, I mean, that's, does that mean this is my 16th?
A few.
Wow. Now, COVID, I guess that really doesn't count.
Yeah, we weren't there for a couple
years. And they wiped out a training camp for the lockout back in, 2011, I want to say. Mm-hmm. They wiped out a camp and preseason. But, hydrate is my advice. I mean, it's really hot out there. They do have, I think, some food and drink for sale.
Yeah, they do.
And I'd bring a pen, you know, if you want autographs, there's a really good chance to get one.
There's nothing. And I mean, I know you do it for the fans, but there's nothing worse than somebody without a pen. There's nothing worse than somebody actually.
Well, what's the player supposed to do?
Yeah, just got done practicing.
Because they got now, they usually have like the community people, they have Sharpies with them that they give to you.
Yeah.
But before then, like, hey, can I borrow your pen real quick?
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm trying
to. No, I've been out there running around for 2 hours. I don't have a pen on me.
I'm trying to get into that locker room, man. But yeah, it's always funny when they do that. I mean, this will be all our first time seeing the new setup and everything. That's why we went out there. Last year, I said they should put a pavilion over the hill.
Mm.
Yeah, maybe that's what they're going to do one day. I don't know. Because you would only use it for training camp.
Yeah.
I mean, once you get into the season, that hill is just kind of there. So, but, you know, those apartments that they built in back, I think those are generally used only for training camp. And
maybe some rookies or somebody that don't got no place.
Maybe, but not all of them, certainly. I don't know. I mean, they've definitely spent a lot of money on the infrastructure there on both sides of that building because they built out the Ticketmaster studio on one side, and then they built out a facility for Emory attached to the indoor practice. They used to call it the barn. I don't know if they call it that anymore. And now, to Andy's point, they've put the weight room where we used to do our broadcasts. So now we're broadcasting in front of the weight room. So if you haven't been up there in a couple of years, it's going to look a lot different. I think it was really unfortunate that they could not have fans there last year. I think, honestly, that hurt a little bit of the buzz going into that season. Mm-hmm. There's just something missing when fans can't attend training camp. So the fact that they're going to be up there again this weekend and we're going to be a part of it too, all very, very exciting for us.
As far as storylines go, obviously, you know, we know who the starting quarterback is.
Yeah.
We know who the backup quarterback is.
Yeah.
There's a couple different position battles and all of that. But just sort of as training camp is about to start on Thursday, what are two or three of the big headline stories you're looking at?
I think still, you know, there's going to be chatter about Cousins being a happy camper, pardon the pun, because it is training camp. And I think there are going to be a lot of eyes and probably a lot of over-analysis on, you know, Cousins and Penix, they're standing 6 feet apart. You know, that could be a sign of tension or something really silly like that. Yeah, I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago. I was actually nervous about this quarterback documentary coming out because, you know, is something going to happen on that show that's going to become a storyline that's going to have to be asked about in camp. I'll be curious to see if the Falcons – they've already made Cousins available to the media this summer.
Right.
Are they going to try to get it out of the way at camp and make him available straight away on Thursday? Just get it out of the way. I don't think that would necessarily be a bad idea. Like, whatever you have to do to throw cold water on any type of is there a controversy here with Kirk Cousins? Is he unhappy? Is he looking angry in the quarterback room or something like that? Like, these are all silly distractions that I'd like to see squelched pretty quickly. I think other than that, look, I mean, yes, there are going to be a position battle here or there, and that happens in every training camp. What I'm looking for the most in this first week, especially, I don't think they're going to be hitting the first couple days. They generally don't. Just stay healthy.
Yes.
You know, stay healthy. Unfortunately, we've seen it not just with the Falcons, but in training camps around the league. You know, you get that awful non-contact injury to someone somewhere in the NFL in the first couple days, and you just don't want it to be here in Atlanta. So stay healthy. Hopefully everyone took care of their bodies between minicamp and now. I'm sure they did. And I think there's a lot of optimism and excitement, and you want to see a certain level of sharpness and crispness in these first couple days of training camp that will validate those positive thoughts coming into the season.
Do you think Cody Bufkin has solidified himself as a backup point guard because of what he did in Vegas?
Not because of what he did in Vegas, because the Hawks haven't signed anyone else. So,
do you think they were waiting to see, maybe? Because there's not too many people out there.
No, I mean, who are you going to get at this point?
Russell Westbrook.
Still available.
He is still available. Actually, Trey would probably love that.
A Thunder fan.
He grew up idolizing Brody.
Right.
I think Chris Paul's still available, too.
Did he sign? Yeah, signed with the Clippers yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yep.
To be the third point guard.
Homecoming, I guess.
Yeah,
he's been on so many teams.
He's close to the Rainbow Challenge that Dennis Schroeder is.
But that was probably like the most fun part of his career with Lob City, I guess. I don't know.
I have a soft spot for when he was with the New Orleans Hornets because I covered those teams. Yeah.
Those teams were good.
That 2007 Hornets team, when they had David West in prime and Tyson Chandler and Peja Stojakovic, they just got really unlucky that the Spurs and Lakers were in their path because that should have been a conference finalist team at least. I think Kobe Bufkin's going to be the backup point guard. The Hawks are obviously very high on him, but they weren't. They would have gone out. They would have signed someone by now. He did play great in Vegas.
He did.
You want to see him dominate in the summer league because he's playing against mostly G leaguers and non-NBA guys. Mm-hmm. So if he did not go out there and dominate, I'd be really worried. He went out there. He did what he was supposed to do. Look, I know there are some strong feelings about Kobe Bufkin being the backup point guard for the Hawks. I've heard some of it on this station. I thought when he was healthy last year, he was more than serviceable. He was okay. If the Hawks are in a position where the backup point guard
is a problem,
is going to have to play a ton of minutes, you've got a much bigger problem because that means Trae Young is not playing. So, I don't know what the financial situation and the number of total roster spots are and everything, and if the Hawks have room to do anything else at this point. But I think collectively we should get used to the notion of Kobe Bufkin being the backup point guard for this team. And I don't think it had anything to do with what he did in Las Vegas.
With now a little bit of time to react to and think about what all they did in the offseason and free agency and the trades they made and stuff. And we had Porzingis on a couple weeks ago, and he said he thinks they could be sneaky good in the East.
Mm.
I don't think it's sneaky. Yeah, I don't think it's sneaky. Yeah. I don't think they're going to sneak up on anybody.
I think they're on everyone's radar.
How would you put it?
Yeah, I've heard, again, on this station, I think a lot of people are setting the ceiling at the 4 seed. I think that's reasonable. I don't think the Hawks have a better roster than Cleveland. I think it's probably close with Orlando and Detroit, but I'd probably lean and give the edge to Orlando and Detroit being slightly better than the Hawks. But I think the Hawks absolutely can compete in this Eastern Conference. And if they stay healthy, if you get 60-plus games from Porzingis, which is a big if.
That's a big if.
And if it works out well from the chemistry standpoint, that's always a mystery that, more often than not, it does work, but sometimes you never know. I can see this team winning 50 games. I think it's absolutely possible, but everything needs to go right. And What scares me still is if one thing goes wrong, I still don't think there's enough organizational depth. But, you know, you went out and you swung hard and you got Porzingis, and I think Kennard is a good pickup, and I think Nikhil Alexander-Walker is a really good pickup. I think 1 through 8, the Hawks are going to be just fine. Quinn Snyder usually plays 9-man rotations. What scares me is what we talked about. If you have an injury to one of your frontline guys, do you feel comfortable now that you can go 10, 11, 12 deep into this roster and still be competitive? And I don't know. But that's also something that you can address down the line during the season with trades. And you have, I think Anzi Salah did a really good job with what he put together here. You have tradable assets. You have a lot of players in the last year of their contract. These are tradable assets that if you have to do something midway through the year to address a need that pops up, I think the Hawks are going to be well positioned to do that.
Are Atlanta United sellers right now, Mike?
Yes.
Okay.
100%.
And the reason why is?
Because.
Are they trying to get money back, players back?
No, they're trying to fix the team.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The team's not good.
Right.
And they're trying to fix it. And they're going to have to open up roster spots in order to fix it. I think that's why you saw Mateus Kliek. I don't know if it was a buyout or waiving him. I think they waived him. Okay, that opens up an international spot. Now, that we already know that this Albanian center back, Mihai, is coming in. So I'm guessing that creates the international spot to bring him in. There was the trade with Efrain Morales. They're going to get, or I guess pending. I don't know if that's been announced yet or not, or if it's still cooking. But it sounds like Atlanta United could get quite a bit of money as a result of that trade. That would allow them to go out and maybe spend that money in this window on someone else. But, yeah, they're absolutely selling right now. They have 11 matches to go. They've only won 4 games. They're not going to the playoffs. It's been a dreadful year. They've got to start fixing the team. That will start. I believe you will see another announcement later this week probably of another high-profile player leaving, maybe 2 or 3 more. They have to fix the team. The only way to do it in a salary cap league is to sell off whatever you can. The problem is, there's not a lot of demand out there right now for most of the guys on this team. So that is going to be a problem. You could have this plan like, okay, let's sell off this guy, this guy, this guy. No one wants him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, then that you're
sounds
stuck.
Shockingly similar to the Braves situation. Everyone wants
Atlanta United situation's worse.
Is it worse? Because I was going to ask
it's
you.
Worse.
Because we came into the season with expectations for both.
No,
and Atlanta United spent all this money and went on and got all these guys. They got 4 wins.
Let me tell you why it's worse. Because the Braves season is not over yet. I still, maybe I am crazy, but I think if you look at the standings and time remaining in the season, there is the potential for the Braves to get hot and maybe sneak in. And if you make the right moves here coming up, you know, it sounds like Ozuna being traded is a foregone conclusion. I think Grant made a good point on with Dukes and Bell. It was yesterday or 2 days ago. You know, trading Ozuna, you're looking maybe to acquire controllable assets, but not necessarily do anything that's going to make a huge difference this year. But I still think there's enough racetrack left in the Braves season where maybe they can get back into this. Atlanta United is completely out of it. You know, they have 11 games left. They're 13 points below the playoff line. They're going to be playing for Leagues Cup. So they are in. And then on top of it, you've invested a lot of money in long-term deals for some designated players who have not worked out. And it's going to be very, very hard to even break even. It's not good business, really, at this point to try to get rid of a Miguel Almiron or a Latte Lott. So, Atlanta United situation is way, way worse than the Braves right now. Way more dire. But they are starting the process of trying to fix the team. And I think that needs to be noted. It's not like they're just resting on their laurels and, all right, you know, the season's over, so see you in January. That's not the case. They are trying to fix this team. So, we've seen Atlanta United last year with Pedro Amador and a couple years ago with Emerson Hyneman and Justin Miram. They've made some impactful moves, Eric Rometty in 2018. They've made some impactful moves in the summer transfer window that have really helped. Let's see if these moves end up helping them.
We will see. Mike, thank you.
Appreciate it, Mike.
Okay,
appreciate it as always. The first hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. We'll come back, get into an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.